Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. And I want to talk to you on the topic of faith forward. Call it that today. Because Israel had come out of Egypt, and it was through faith they had to go forward and continue on in the direction that God had called them to go, toward the promised land. And so let's notice the scriptures together. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Numbers 13:1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, and everyone a leader from among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Let's move down to verse 26, same chapter. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and of the congregation and the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. For their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for the truth of Scripture, Lord, that we can glean instruction for living through. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just minister the heart, soul, mind, and life of every person. Encourage us in the faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Faith forward. God intended his people to move forward in faith after being delivered from Egyptian bondage. They believed when they had seen the plagues on the Egyptian gods, 12 plagues, on the Egyptian, where all the gods of Pharaoh were destroyed, and also the Egyptian army and Pharaoh were destroyed in the Red Sea as the waters overflowed them. And however God meant for them to move in faith, their faith to go forward toward the promised land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And so God intended for them to believe and to continue to trust him that they could move forward no matter what. And forward in the will and the purpose of God. And likewise, you and I as believers, regardless of national crisis, we the church must believe. We must keep going forward. As a church, we must send this gospel message of deliverance from sin and reconciliation, and the message of reconciliation with God to all the world, regardless of what happens here in our own country, politically, socially, economically. Whatever problems may exist, they may exist. But I can tell you something, we're not the first person that's ever faced this. There are people who have paid a great price in order to share the gospel of Christ with us. Amen. And we're a people who are blessed with the knowledge of Christ. And we're a people in America today, in the United States of America, who are blessed with the gospel to be able to be freely preached as we're doing right now this day. And so I thank God for that. But friend, we cannot take it for granted. God, his pay, it was paid for with blood. Jesus paid for our sins with his blood. There have been many people who have went onto the mission field and it cost them their lives. They died physically to carry the gospel to people that would never hear the gospel, that would never know who Jesus is and would never know what eternal life was unless they had been obedient to him. But thank God for it. And he has blessed us. Praise the Lord. And so here we find Israel in the place where they were traveling. They had come across the Red Sea. They had seen the Egyptian army drown the Red Sea. But they must have the faith to go past this and to go forward, because a great wilderness lay out before them where there wasn't plenty of stuff. And so there were plenty of things for people to have. There wasn't plenty of water. There wasn't plenty of food. And this was a nation, a great nation of many people, plus their herds and their flocks. And they all had to have water every day, and they all had to have something to eat every day. Amen. They weren't quite as bad as us, probably. They probably didn't have to eat three times a day. But God gave them manna every morning. And God sent quail in the evening. And they had something to eat. I mean, I've never eaten a quail sandwich, but anyway, manna and quail. And God would provide for this for 40 years. But we see here that their faith began to grow weak pretty quick after they came out of Egypt. And so they just were just on the verge of entering the promised land, and God and Joshua began to, or Moses began to send out people to spy out the land. We want you to come, go and spy out the land and give us a report of what you see when you go there. Now Moses knew that God had promised this land to them and to their descendants forever. But we find here that they went out and they looked at the place and they carried a load of grapes between two poles on them to show the people the fruit of the land. And to show that it was definitely a land flowing with milk and honey. And they were to give a report, were the people there strong or weak? Are there many or few? What are the cities like, you know? What are the people like there? And never mind that God had given them the authority and the command to go and destroy everything in this land of Canaan. This was a judgment of the Amorites. It had come up before God. Their judgment would be complete. God had dealt with them long enough. It was time for the judgment to fall upon them. And so God sent them out, Moses sent them out, Lord, to spy out the land. When they came back, with a bad report. And we'll just call this a sin of a bad report. A report of unbelief and not of faith at all. They were not ready to move forward with their faith. And so, when we come back with a bad report, that does things to people. I remember my older brother. He's 10 years older than me. And when we made a bad grade at school, come on our report card, it wasn't real comforting. Because mom and dad worked hard, sent us to school, expected us to study and do our lessons. And my brother had come back with a D on one of his report cards. But he had a buddy, and you didn't lie to my mother and daddy. But so he had one of his buddies to put a line on the D and make it look like a B. Well, my parents called the teacher, and you know what? It wasn't a B. It was a D. And so he paid for it. So it was a bad report. But here is a different thing. The bad report would discourage the people who had gone all this distance to enter into a promised land, a land that God had promised them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And when they went to the land, the spies went there, and when they came back, only two of them came back to go forward in faith, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And the other ten, they came back, and all they could see was the impossibilities, and they could not see in faith at all. All they could see was they weren't able to do it, and they were looking at the natural man, and at the natural man they couldn't do it, but they had God on their side, and God had proved himself powerful and faithful many times in their behalf. And so they reported the impossibilities. They were there. And there are those impossibilities are pointed out today in our own culture. And there are people who tell you can't live above sin, you can't live for God. You know, everyone sins a little bit every day, and so there is no heaven, there is no hell, and there is no judgment, and that's the message that's trying to get across in our country that was founded upon godly, biblical, Christian principles. And yet the enemy of our soul is trying to draw America aside to unbelief completely instead of giving us faith to go forward on. And so they heard news that was contrary to what they wanted to hear. And they saw all the impossibilities, these 10 spies did, the other two, Joshua and Caleb, saw God. And they didn't believe. They didn't have faith that went forward. These people had seen the miraculous deliverance from Egyptian bondage. How could they not believe? I mean, when the people used to beat you and bring you before Pharaoh because you didn't produce enough bricks, they saw them floating dead on the edge of the Red Sea. Their enemies conquered by a miracle of God. How could they not be people of faith? But yet, if people don't go forward in faith, then faith becomes dead and it becomes unbelief. And many times when we're on the edge of victory, the enemy works overtime to cause unbelief to set in. We can look and say, well, God has brought us safe thus far, but you know things are happening now, and I just don't understand God, and God doesn't talk to me like he used to, and God hadn't changed. And God still talks to people, and God still speaks to us every day through his word, if we were willing to read it. And here we see the complaints of the people. Verse 31 says, the men who had gone up said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we are. They're bigger. They're stronger than we are. And also, they said, it's a land that devours its inhabitants. They had lost sight of the milk and honey. They were thinking about the people that were there. Verse 32 says, they brought a bad report. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours the inhabitants. They were saying, if we go there, we will not survive. All the people we saw there are bigger than we are, great stature, they're great, and they're bigger than we are. And so we'll be devoured, all our country, all of our people, all of our kids, our precious things, we'll be devoured there. And moreover, they made a comparison here, verse 33. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Wow. And these giants were people that could have been descendants that were fallen angels that intermarried with the women of men and produced a giant races of people. There were many giants in that land. Be that as it may, I won't go into that. It's a whole different study. But anyway, they were scared. They said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. There's people of huge stature. There's people there that are bigger than we are. Man. I worked a job one time, and there's a young guy. He's an ex-prisoner. He'd come out of prison, and he was doing well and everything, but he was a little guy, a little short guy. And this 6'5 guy, you know, got mad at him one day and said, you know, you just better behave yourself. And the little guy said, if you touch me, I'm going to send you to the hospital. I don't think anything ever become of that, thankfully. But the little guy had faith he could take this big guy out. But here we find that they were like grasshoppers in their sight. How easily we can be persuaded to believe something that is totally false. To believe a bad report. A report of unbelief. A report of defeat. A report that didn't come from God. And many times people are already defeated before they ever start the battle at all. But the Bible says we've got to have faith in God. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I do not see how that we can live, and every parent is asked this, how can we raise kids in such a society as this and expect anything good to come out of them? I'll tell you how. God is greater. God is more powerful. God is stronger. And the faith that you plant in the hearts of those kids and those young people in Sunday school and in church, and when you pray with them, you should pray with them at home out loud. Amen, where they can know that you pray, then they will grow up to know the Lord and to serve the Lord, and they can be an overcomer because God's power and His Holy Spirit is able to give them what they need to make it through this life. Hallelujah. And a report of unbelief is wide today in secular society. I'm not going to talk about politics because I was told not to. But today we could be on the verge of the greatest exodus this world has ever known. And that would be the rapture of the church. My friend, I'm ready for an exodus. To leave it all behind. And we're not just trying to help ourselves feel better. And there's people that have tried to do that all their life. They said, I'm just going to leave this town and go to the next town. And I'm just going to leave it all behind. I'm going to leave the people I know behind. It's going to be better when I get to the next town. But I want to tell you, most of those people found out the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence. It's just a fable, something they imagined would happen. I was in a town one time, and some people came to the church of my friend that was in the next town. And they said, we've never lived here, but we just decided we want to live here. Our car broke down here, and we don't have the money to fix it, so we decided God wants us right here. My pastor friend hadn't decided that God wanted them right there. But anyway, there's people that live like that. But I want to tell you something. That's not the way we live. But we do live knowing there's going to be a mass exodus one of these days, a coming. Amen. Just as Israel was drawn out of Egypt by God, God's got a place. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall ever be with the Lord. I still believe in the rapture of the church. I still believe it could happen today. Amen. It may not, and I'm not trying to predict a day, and because everybody that's ever tried to has been wrong. But God knows when it is, so we just need to live like He's coming today, because He may come today. Praise the Lord. And so here we are on the verge, could be, and it looks like the world cannot go on as it is. However, be that, we need to keep on living for God and be forward in our faith. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, it says, Paul says to the church there, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but he said, I press on. And his faith was going forward. In prison, he would write, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't know it all. I don't have all the understanding. Apprehended. He said, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. Man, Paul could have dwelt on his past life when he was a persecutor of the church and persecutor of Christians before his conversion. But he said, I have to leave those things which are behind and press forward to those things which are before. I want to tell you, friend, his faith was going forward. He saw an eternity with God. God had gloriously saved him, graciously saved him, and made a preacher out of who was formerly a persecutor. Amen. That's how God can change a life. And he said, forgetting what those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My friend, his faith was going forward, which is what ours needs to do, to go on forward. Lord, regardless of what happens in society, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you no matter what. Man. And so, they believed a bad report, and they didn't cross over to Canaan's land at that point. It took them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to get the slave mentality out of them where they could go there and be free people to go over. Man. And today we hear of anti-Christian things in society. We see national crisis, terrorism. We see cartel criminal activity just on the border of the Texas state that we live in. Not just Texas, but all across the border. We see criminal activity. It's not that they're about to come to cross. They've already come across. And so it's there. And we can be fearful if we want to, and we can say we can't stand up against people like these. This because the cartels in Mexico, they're involved in their military, they're involved in their police force, and they are. We see these things come along, and we could shy away in fear and say, I'm just not going to go forward. I'm just going to sit here and die or hope Jesus comes before we have to do anything. But I want to tell you something. God gives us some assurance about his protection of his people. And he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 39, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other created thing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can stand on that promise, friend. There's comfort, there's hope, there's help there. God's got it taken care of. We just need to not to be filled with fear and unbelief, but we need to go forward in our faith, and regardless of what people do, just keep on living for him no matter what. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. And God's plan for the church hasn't changed. Has there ever been a threat to the church before? There has always been a threat to the church. Amen. All you have to do is read the book of Acts and find out that people went through many things in order to name the name of Christ. But God's plan hasn't changed. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. I still believe God has his plan. It's God's will for you to go forward. It's for you and God's will for you and I to be victorious, to be successful, to walk with him, to live for him, and to serve him with all our heart, all of our days. Praise God. Crisis situation caused people to cry out to God. I remember when the 9/11 thing, Twin Towers came down in New York City, and 9/11 is just for a little while there. People flocked to church. Church buildings filled up, church pews filled up, and people were seeking God because they knew there was no other answer to this except God. But sadly, after the initial shock wore off, after a month or two, it didn't wear off of everybody, but most of the population, then the churches began to empty again, and people were no longer felt like they needed God. But my friend, it can happen again, and people still need God. He is our protector. We must trust in him. Amen. But crisis situations like that, they are opportunities for us to see God's work, to see his power, to see his willingness to help us. And these cause us to explore God's word for answers. When crisis situation arises, we can seek God's word, see what God's trying to say to us. And I find in Isaiah 54:17, the word of God tells me, and I don't believe, say, well, he was talking about the people then. No, he's talking about all of us. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the children of God, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. I want to tell you something. That's a promise of God that you can stand on, that whatever weapon may be formed against you, it's not going to prosper. And people may do things that cause you, hope not, but cause you to die physically. But if you're born again of God's Spirit, God's Spirit dwells within you. In the moment that your body ceases to be alive, your spirit man departs from you, and you're eternally with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if there's a bad report, don't worry about it. Just keep on pressing forward in faith and live for God. Second, we find here they had no excuse for unbelief. They had seen God's mighty hand of deliverance from Egypt. And yet they had a report here that was good, two reports of faith forward, Joshua and Caleb. And we find here that after they had heard of all the impossibilities, we find that Caleb quieted the people, verse 30, before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. Let's go right now. We're ready to take possession. We've wandered along long enough in this wilderness. It's time to go in there and get this land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. We're able to do it. God is with us. We're going to be overcomers." And so Caleb and Joshua stood up, but you know, the voices of the negative and the voices of unbelief overpowered the voices of faith. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able." And Caleb said, "Yes, we are able." And they were the negative crowd was that they devours its inhabitants. More than that, there's big boys over there. They're bigger than we are. They're giants there. We can't do this. And they discouraged the heart of the whole nation of Israel. Why? Because they wouldn't press forward in faith like God had given them and intended for them to do. Man. And really, they had no excuse for unbelief. They'd seen God's mighty power. Man. And I'll tell you something, church, whatever happens in our own country, we're still well able to send this gospel everywhere. It's Mission Sunday. Regardless of the response, still people in this town, this community, are searching for answers. It's amazing the people that are hooked on meth throughout our country, throughout our nation, and throughout this little town that we live in. But I want to tell you something, friend. God is still stronger than meth. These things may be destroying lives, but God is stronger. God is bigger than America's unbelief. He's bigger than your unbelief. He's big enough to bring you to faith. Amen. He's able to help us to have the faith to go forward. Faith is God. God gives us. God deals to every man the measure of faith. And so God is able to help us to believe, not believe something or try to make something happen by belief, but God is able to put faith in our hearts. "My friend, I know my Redeemer liveth, and before him I will stand before him at the latter day." Job said that, going through the greatest trial that we know of in Scripture. But I want to tell you something, friend. We can go forward in faith, not backwards, forward. For we believe for God's deliverance, God's ability. And God's word's very strong on this. God was not happy with their decision here to turn around. More than that, they went to the other extreme and said, let's get a new leader. I mean, who can replace Moses? Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Nobody was closer to God than Moses. And yet the unbeliever said, let's select a new leader and go back to Egypt. We had it better there. No, they didn't. And Jesus said in the New Testament, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. He's saying there, don't backslide. If what God did, what Jesus did on the cross isn't good enough, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. My friend, what Jesus did on the cross, he meant for you to give, to stay with, to live for him, to move forward in faith, amen, to press on in faith. God meant for you to keep the faith, amen. God meant for you to go on. God didn't save you so you'd fall out of the way somewhere later. If you choose to do that, you have the power of choice to do that. But I want to tell you, God saved you to stay saved and to keep on being saved and to keep on being delivered and keep on walking with him until he calls you home. That's what God saved you to do. Amen. Sadly, some people fall out of the way and fall away from the faith and turn away from God and turn away from the faith that they were given. And you can't help that. You can't help the decisions that other people make. But my friend, God has given you the ability to make the right decision. That is to press forward in faith. And so, not fit for the kingdom of God. But there's a scripture in that amazes me. I heard a guy preach on it one time. I started to preach on it myself out of May. Sometime. Small scripture in Luke 17:32 where it says, "Remember Lot's wife." And we look back to the Old Testament. We find that God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which Lot and his wife lived in, his family lived in. And God had told them to get out of Sodom. He said, God's going to destroy this place. Fire is going to fall from heaven upon the ungodly here in Sodom and Gomorrah. The time of their judgment has come up. They were filled with all kinds of immorality. They were filled with all the, you know, they were kind of like some people in America today. They didn't know the difference between a boy and a girl. And so they were had problems. And God has said, I'm going to destroy it. You, Lot, and your family, you get out of there. And he said, whatever you do, don't look back to that place. And we know that Lottie didn't take it very seriously. That's Lot's wife. We'll call her Lottie. She didn't take it very seriously. And she looked back. And you say, well, what was the great sin of that? Well, it showed that her heart was still in Sodom. Enough of the evil had worn off the good in her and gave her that kind of mentality. And she turned to a pillar of salt. And only Lot and his two daughters escaped. And that's a whole different story and everything, but yet the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Don't ever look back on sin and say, I wish I had it. I want to go back there. Like, I want to go back to Egypt. Egypt is the type of the world. I want to go back. You see, it's those things. It's the filthiness of Egypt, the type of the world that bring people to Christ to start with, because there is no other answer except God. Because you see, unbelief causes Egypt to look attractive again. There's something wrong when sinful things begin to interest you and look attractive again. Hollywood does its best to make sin look attractive, but it's not. And so they said, let's go back, let's get another leader, and let's just go back to Egypt. We remember things that we had there in Egypt. At least we had food to eat there. We had cemeteries to bury each other in when we died. We had leeks and onions. We had plenty to eat, and those were the good old days. So let's just go back there. You've heard people talk that are my age and older about the good old days when they had this and had that, you know, when the things weren't good, you know, when they walked to school, you know, barefooted every day, uphill both ways, that kind of stuff, you know. Amen. My old grandma was so tough. She brushed her teeth with a steel brush. Didn't have any cavities unless she made them. All those stories, but the good old days they saw were that they looked back to weren't good at all. They forgot the beatings, the torture, the vicious attacks of the taskmasters, the cruel Pharaoh, a life of no hope and no love and no hope of ever being anything but a slave and no hope of doing anything except raising children with a slave mentality. It's all only good there was back in Egypt. But they said, let's just go back there. But my friend, remember, do you remember the hopelessness that brought you to Christ to start with? Do you remember our lost condition, no past, no present, no future hope whatsoever? Can you imagine a life that has no hope, has no eternity with God, but complete and total forever separation from the love and the mercy of God forever? It's hard for me to imagine that. My friend, I don't ever want to go. Whatever the devil has to offer, I don't want what he has to offer. It's never brought any good on anybody or anything, but we're going to move forward in faith. We're going to keep living for God regardless of what happens in society, regardless of what governments may do. I can tell you we're going to walk with God, live for God. One day the trumpet of Almighty God's going to sound. It'll be worth it all that you serve God, that you gave your life to Jesus, that you walked with Him. You'll never regret for a second in eternity you made the choice to turn right and to live right. Hallelujah.